This morning's sermon is called Honor the Father and the Son from the book of John, chapter 5, verse 17 through 23. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I want to add verse 16 of last Sunday's passage into this passage because they go together. So let's take a look at verses 16 and 17 this morning in our passage. It says, for this reason, remember, for this reason, for Jesus healing the man by the pool on the Sabbath, for this reason, the Jews, remember the Jews, when John writes about the Jews, he's talking about the religious leaders, not the Jewish people. He was Jewish himself. He's talking about the religious leaders. He says, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he healed a man on the Sabbath. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath, verse 17 says, but Jesus answered him and said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. At this point, Jesus had already proven that he is Lord over demons, over diseases, over the temple, over creation, and that he is Lord over the Sabbath, declaring his deity before these religious leaders. These religious leaders turned the Sabbath day of rest and worship into a Sabbath day of burdens with their man-made rules, their rituals, their ceremonies, their laws that they made on their own man-made doctrines. So Jesus did many healings on the Sabbath to prove a point to them that the Sabbath was actually made for man, not man for the Sabbath, right? Which is in Mark 2:27. Jesus was telling them the Sabbath rest was made for you, right? A day of rest and worship, not because my Father and I are weary and tired, right? The Sabbath was created for you, not us. Jesus was telling them this just because it's the Sabbath. We do not cease from being God. My Father and I do not stop working, is what he's telling these religious leaders, right? Good thing, because if God stopped working, we'd stop breathing, right? Planets would fall out of skies, the ocean would consume us. It's a good thing God doesn't rest or sleep. He's not weary, as the book of Psalms says. Just a side note, the Sabbath rest, it's important for you to know, the Sabbath rest was an Old Testament covenant between God and Israel, okay? The Sabbath was not carried over to the church in the New Testament. Why? Because we rest in Christ every day. We rest in Christ every day, not just one day a week. Very important for you to know that. So Jesus said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Jesus was telling them, my Father and I work in perfect harmony together, right? He is working and I am working. We created all things and we do not stop working, right? The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he says, for by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. All things. And Jesus is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now, what does that mean, all things consist? That means that Jesus is holding all things together. He is holding all things together. Did you notice Paul wrote, he created all things through him and for him? That means you and me. You were made for God, right? You were made for God. You weren't made for you, okay? You were not made for you. You were made for God. You were made for him. The Apostle John wrote in the very beginning of this chapter that we went through before, weeks ago, in chapter 1, he started out this gospel in verses 1 and 3. He said, in the beginning was the Word. That was Christ, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made, that Jesus made all things. Fascinating, right? Now, it was never a question in their minds that Jesus was claiming to be God. This is why they wanted to kill him. They thought that Jesus was insane. They thought he was a maniac. They thought this was blasphemy, claiming to be God. This is why these religious leaders wanted to kill him. And because of this, look at verse 18. It says, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill Jesus because he, look at this, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This is one of the strongest verses in the Bible that testifies to the deity of Jesus Christ, and it's a response from his enemies. It's a response from his enemies. They said, Jesus said that God is his Father, making himself equal with God. Exactly. Exactly. They knew exactly what Jesus was telling them, that he is the Son of God, God in the flesh before them. Jesus told them, and he tells us in the scriptures, that he is the Son of God, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, that he is God in the flesh. And listen, and by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. And this is the reason why the Apostle John writes this gospel. This is the number one reason why he writes this gospel, is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and by believing in him, you have eternal life in his name. This is what John, the Apostle John, is laying out in his gospel for us, that you would so believe in Christ and have eternal life in his name and his name alone. Very powerful. Let's take a look at verse 19. It says, then Jesus answered and said to them, to these religious leaders, most assuredly I say to you, let's stop here for a minute. You know what that means in the scriptures, right? When the Lord says that, most assuredly, I say to you, you know what he's saying? Listen up, right? Or you, some translations say truly, truly, or verily, verily. This is Jesus saying, listen up. You can count on what I'm about to say. And listen to what he says. Jesus continued, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. That's interesting, right? Jesus tells them, I want you to know all the miracles that you've seen before your eyes, all the healings, all the signs, all the wonders, I didn't do on my own. I did not do on my own. I do whatever I see my Father do. I see him do it, I do it. We are working in perfect harmony together. In other words, he's telling them, fellas, you know that man that I healed on the Sabbath, right, by the pool in Bethesda? That was on God's heart to heal him, so we healed him. Amazing. He tells us we are always working together in perfect harmony, right? When we see Jesus, we see the heart of God, the will of God, the power of God. All throughout the Gospels as we go through them, we see that Jesus would often look at the multitudes of people and he would have compassion on them. He would have compassion. And you should know this, that's the heart of God. We serve a merciful and gracious God. God said, he said back in Exodus 33:19, he said, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Exodus 33:19, and Paul wrote about it again in Romans 9:15. We serve a merciful God. Merciful God. It is the heart of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. First book of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 4. God by nature is a Savior. What does that mean? He wants to save. But He gives us the free will to decide, which I think makes God even more amazing, that He values a relationship based on choice. That makes Him even more amazing. You know what that means? He values a relationship based on choice. He wants you to want Him. Right? Like any healthy relationship, right? You're with somebody, you want them to be with you just as much as they want to be with you and you with them. That makes for a healthy relationship, right? You don't want to be with someone if they didn't want to be with you, right? Makes sense. God's the same way. He wants you to want Him. And you guys have heard me say this before, if you don't want God in your life, no problem. He won't come. I guarantee it. But if you do, look out. Because He is going to come up on your heart like never before. And you are going to be a different person than you once were. That's the doctrine of regeneration. He gives you a new heart, new spirit. God changes us. You guys have heard me say this. God changes us from the inside out. I will remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put My Spirit within you, and you will obey Me, says the Lord. Right? Jeremiah 24:7, right? What did He say? He said, I'm going to put a new heart in you to know Me. Right? That's becoming born again. Become born again. Amazing. It's all the works of God. Right? All the works of God. So, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but whatever He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus is declaring to these men the co-relationship that He has with the Father. This is why they wanted to kill Him. He was claiming to be God, the Son of God. And they are co-workers, Jesus said, and they are working out all things together, right? Which is a truth that is taught all throughout the Scriptures, right? It was the Father who sent the Son into the world to save and seek, right? To seek and save the lost. And it was Jesus who came to save, to redeem us and reconcile us back to God through Him. And it's the Holy Spirit that applies that redemption. All three persons in the triune Godhead working together in sync. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Same deity, same power, same nature. And this is what Jesus is telling them, right? The Father made the plan of salvation, the Son made the plan possible, and the Holy Spirit makes the plan work. All three working all things out, working out all things in you and me. Right? Working us all out, as Paul wrote in the book of Philippians 1:9, right? What did he say? He said, He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus is telling us? The work I've started in you, oh, I'm going to complete it until you stand before Me. Amazing. Amazing. The work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer. Amazing. Jesus went on in verse 20. In verse 20, He said, look at this right here. Start right off. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these that you may marvel. Jesus tells them and tells us about the great love that the Father has for the Son. And He shows Him all things. You know what Jesus is saying? He said, doing all things today. He says, I see My Father in heaven do the work, and I do the work right here on earth. We are working in perfect harmony together, and the Father loves the Son dearly. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus, when Jesus came up out of the water, it says that the heavens were opened to Jesus, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 3. John wrote back in chapter 3, which we went through, he said, the Father loves the Son, and he's given, listen, all things into his hands. Not some things. The Father loves the Son. He's given him all things into his hand. Listen to Jesus praying for us. This is Jesus praying to the Father in John 17, 24 through 26. This is Jesus praying to the Father for us. Listen carefully. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. Listen. And I have declared to them your name. I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Let me just break this down for you. Jesus is praying to the Father. Father, I desire to be with those who you gave me. I want to be with them, Father. The saved. God's elect. And Jesus didn't stop there. Look what he says. He says, and Father, love them like you love me. Love them, those who you gave me, like you love me, Father. That's powerful. Right? John writes in 6:44, John writes, Jesus said to him, nobody can come to me, listen, unless the Father draws him to me. And Jesus now says, Father, those who you've given me, oh, I desire to be with them. You know what that means? Have fellowship daily with me. Praying daily, communion with me. I desire, Lord, that they would talk with me and have prayers with me and fellowship with me daily. And Father, love them like you love me. If you are in Christ, not only does Jesus love you, he desires to be with you. Desires, as he said in the scriptures. Amazing. John 17, 24 through 26. Get to know that verse. Get to know those verses. Let's take a look at verse 21. Jesus continued. Now, Jesus is having this conversation with these Jewish religious leaders who wanted to kill him. He's not stopping. This is going to be a long passage as we go through this chapter. Jesus is going to give it to him. Look at verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Ooh. The Son is going to give life to whom he will. Jesus is saying, not only am I going to raise them from the dead physically, I'm going to raise them from the dead spiritually and give them life. Right? We were once spiritually dead until we became alive in Christ, as the scripture says, right? We were once children, right, of wrath, by nature, children of wrath, until we surrendered our life to Christ. Scripture's clear on that. We were dead in our sin and trespasses until we became alive in Christ. That is spiritually alive, not physically. Spiritually, right? And which one becomes born again, right? Born from above, born of God, adopted into God's family. Hallelujah. Adopted into God's family. You belong to me, says the Lord. The Son gives life to whom He wills, which points to Jesus' deity. Right? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You will never die. Right? Jesus was telling these religious leaders that hated him, I have the power to raise from the dead, declaring that he is God. They must have went berserk hearing these words from the Lord. They were standing in front of God in the flesh. Jesus is telling these men, hey, I wouldn't be so worried about me healing people on the Sabbath. I'd be more worried about the fact that I'm God. That's what he's telling these people. Don't be worried about me healing people. You should be worried that I'm God standing before you. That's why they want to kill him. He's saying, I am the Son of God, God in the flesh, the second person in the triune Godhead. Let's take a look at verses 22 and 23. Jesus drops a bomb on these religious fakes right here. Look at this. Verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Boy, their ears must have been burning. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Powerful words from the Lord to these religious leaders. Jesus is telling them, these religious fakes who are all about honoring God, he says, you ain't honoring God at all because you don't honor me. Can you imagine? Well, I would have loved to have been there. Oh, man, would I love to have been standing right there seeing this. He tells them, you think you're honoring God, but you're not. Because you don't honor the Son. You don't honor the Father. I mean, you could hear a pin drop right there. You know, this is true with every single religion in the world. The relationship with God is based on the relationship of honoring and worshiping Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Do they worship Jesus as God? Do they honor Him as God? Do they fear Him as judge of all the heavens and the earth? Do they serve Him as the creator of all the universe? If not, it's a false religion. Period. And they are self-deceived. And listen, they will be condemned if they do not repent. You cannot. Jesus. These are Jesus' words. This isn't Pastor Sean's words. These are Jesus' words saying to us, you cannot honor the Father without honoring the Son. And whoever does not believe this will be judged. Boy, he's really giving it to them. Judged by who? Judged by who? Jesus tells us in verse 22. He said, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Jesus is high judge. Amen? Jesus is declaring that he is high judge, and everyone who's ever lived and ever going to live is going to stand before him one day in judgment. If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. I want to share a passage with you. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17. If you forgot your Bible, you want to use a Pew Bible, it's on Pew Bible page 1711. Or you can just listen along. Acts chapter 17. Talks about this very thing. We're going to go right down to verses 30 and 31. Give you a minute there to get there to your Word of God. Acts chapter 17. We're going to go right down to verse 30 and 31. Get to know these two verses very well and share them with your friends and family. All right. Verse 30. Truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men to everywhere to repent. Because He, God, has appointed a day on which He, God, will judge the world in righteousness by the man, Jesus Christ, whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all, not to some, to all, by raising Him from the dead. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and the earth. He's been given all authority to judge the living and the dead. All authority has been given to Jesus on the day. Listen, Jesus is either your Savior or He's your judge, depending on your relationship with Him. That's it. He's either your Savior or He's your judge, depending on your relationship with Him. Very powerful. Jesus, you know what Jesus is telling us in the Scripture? Jesus is saying, I get to say who gets in to heaven and who doesn't. Scriptures are very clear on this. We will all stand before Jesus one day after this life. Jesus was telling these Pharisees, you may think you're honoring God, but you're not, because you do not believe that I am who I say I am. Powerful. Seeing you have your Bible out, I want you to turn to John 8. Then we'll close. I told you I'd have you out of here by 2 o'clock. We'll go to John chapter 8. This is very, very powerful from the Lord. Wait till we go through these verses. We'll eventually be in John 8, maybe next year. We're just taking our time. There's no rush. Not rushing through God's Word. Let's go down to verse 21 through 25. Another good one for you to highlight in your Bible. John chapter 8, verse 21 and 25. Jesus is talking to these same Pharisees down the road. Listen to what He has to say to them. Verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek Me, and you will die in your sin. Boy, I bet they went off on that one. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews, the religious leaders, said, will He kill Himself because He says, where I go, you cannot come? Plain stupid, right? And look, verse 23. And Jesus said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, which we know what therefore means, right? Now that you know this, right? That's what that means. Therefore, Jesus saying, now that you know this, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Then they said to Him, who are you? Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Amen? I am the same person I've been telling you from the beginning. I am the Son of God, God in the flesh. And because you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Powerful words from the Lord. These religious leaders were standing before Jesus and claiming to represent God. And Jesus told them, you're not honoring God at all because you do not honor Me. You do not honor Me. You do not honor the Father. You do not honor Him who sent Me. Jesus tells us in the Scriptures, right? He's the only way. He's the only door. He's the only gate in which we must all enter through into eternal life. He is it. Right? There's only one road. I know these, we got some fakes out there in these other religions. Oh, we can get to heaven. Yeah, all kinds of roads. No, there isn't. That's not what Jesus says. He says, only one road. You must go through me, says the Lord. All of Jesus' claims are absolutely true and backed up by the Word of God. Every bit of it. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 to the very end, His Word is true. Now, before I close, one last thing. We read back in verse 20 that the Father loves the Son. Scripture tells us that the Father loves the Son dearly. Can you imagine how hard it must have been for the Father to watch them reject His Son? To spit on Him? To scourge Him? To mock Him? To beat Him, and eventually have Him crucified. I couldn't handle this if it was my son. I couldn't do it. How did God refrain Himself? Because He loved you and me. That's why. That's why He could refrain Himself. Because He loved you and me. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is amazing love and grace from God our Father. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for speaking into our hearts this morning Your Word. Oh, Lord, please continue to minister to us Your Word. Help us grow spiritually, Lord. Help us grow in Your Word. Put it on our heart, Lord, to spend more time with You in our lives, that we would set some time aside for You, Lord. For You, Lord. Not that we would just squeeze You into our life. You are our life. You are our life, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for everything You do for us every day in Jesus' name. Amen.